By the prophet Isaiah it is written, "Here is my herald, whom I shall send, and he will prepare your way." Prepare the way. Prepare the heart and mind. Let everyone stand silent. Let the stars and moon cease to move. Let the leaves of the tree and the tall browning grass cease to rustle in the wind. With expectant hush and long-awaiting yearning, we herald the coming of the long-awaited Christ child, the coming of the infant to Bethlehem. Advent, a Latin word for coming. Prepare the way. Prepare the heart to receive. Prepare the way. The Christ is coming. Let us prepare for Advent, the coming of the Christ child. On this first Sunday of Advent, this first of four Sabbaths, let us prepare with repentance. Let us prepare with hope, and let us prepare with faith. For the light will come into this world as God has promised. The Christ child will come into the Bethlehem stable. The Christ child will come into this world, into every life that waits, into every hopeful heart. Let us now begin our service of preparation.
Many symbols of waiting, of preparation. There are many practiced customs to hail the Advent, the coming. Foremost among the symbols are the Advent wreath, or as we display it on this table. The Advent candles are a symbol of four Sabbaths of waiting. Four candles light the wreath. Three are purple. Each purple candle is a symbol of waiting, repentant waiting, a symbol of our preparation, longing, and waiting. One for each of three Sabbaths of repentant preparation. On the third Sunday of Advent, the pink candle is set aglow to symbolize joy. Deep longing, fervent expecting joy, rooted in promises made long ago. The center candle is white, pure symbolic white. Lighted when the Christ is come.
As we light a candle each Sunday, we symbolize the coming of Christ, the victorious Christ, the Prince of Peace, Christ the Eternal, Christ the revelation of God. He comes, let us prepare for his coming. Today, we light the candle of
hope.
Join us in the Advent Candle Litany printed in your bulletin. The Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream into it.
We will go up to the mountain of the Lord, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths.
The one who is coming will bring a new order to life and teach us the way of peace.
Awaken us, O Lord, as your salvation draws near.
As we light this candle, trusting that Emmanuel will surely come.
In this light, we await the coming of the Lord.
The Christmas tree is widely used in our celebration of Christmas. There are green trees, blue trees, frosty snow-covered trees, all inside a warm room. Lighted trees, living trees, all are trees of Christmas. Our use of Christmas trees is widespread. Our use of Christmas trees is so widespread we have forgotten the beginning. Hear the legend of the first Christmas tree. 700 years after the birth of Christ, Pope Gregory wanted to send a Christian missionary to the pagan tribes of northern Germany. He called on Winfred of England, later known as Saint Boniface, to go to Germany for a three-year period to teach Christian ways to the pagan tribes who lived there. Well, one day, as Winfrid was traveling among the people there, he came upon a gathering for a pagan ceremony in the forest. The ceremony was meant to please the god of the forest. Winfrid begged that the ceremony be stopped, but his words were ignored. In a desperate act to stop the ritual, Winfrid grabbed the ceremonial axe and cut down the oak tree. The people were furious, but their anger turned to amazement as they saw a small fir tree spring up to replace the fallen oak. A shaft of light caused each twig on the fir tree to glisten, and the people listened and believed when Winfrid told them the tree was a symbol of the birth of life through Christ. Thus began the custom among German people of using a fir tree as a symbol to acknowledge the birth of Christ. It was another 700 years before Martin Luther put lighted candles on his tree to recapture the glistening twigs of the tree in the forest which Winfrid had seen. He also topped his tree with a star to commemorate that star which was in the Bethlehem sky recorded in scriptures. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him." We adorn our trees today with gold, signifying that Christ is King. We also have symbols that remind us of the life of Christ, the gift of Christ for us. As the choir sings, let us listen to the words that they sing and come forward. So all of you are going to come forward to begin the decoration of our trees here in our sanctuary as we decorate them with the gold balls, the gold ornaments, and other Christian symbols. Please come forward and let us decorate. Almighty God, amid much confusion, signs leading away from you, we seek your truth. Open our hearts to the wonders of your work and the wisdom of your word. Amen. Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah in chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. Hear the words of our Lord. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills. And all the nations, I think I forgot the children's chat, didn't I? Well, are they still here? Oh, okay. All right. Well, let's do the children's chat, and then we'll read scripture. Not that they can't hear that. Actually, let me finish Isaiah, and then we'll do children's chat. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains and shall be raised above the hills, and all the nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations, and shall arbitrate for many peoples. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." All right, well, I would invite the children to walk forward for the children's chat. Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 24, verses 36 to 44. In this section of Matthew's gospel, Matthew is writing about the time that will come that we do not know about in terms of when it will come. Let us listen to the word of our Lord. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and the other one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night that the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake. It would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us continue decorating our sanctuary.
A manger is a feeding trough used for cattle, sheep, donkeys, or horses. Archaeologists have discovered stone mangers in the horse stables of Ahab at Megiddo. They were cut out of limestone and were approximately 3 feet long, 18 inches wide, and 2 feet deep. Other ancient mangers were made of masonry. Many Palestinian homes consisted of one large room which contained an elevated section and a lower section. The elevated section was the family's living quarters, while the lower section housed the family's animals. Usually a manger in the form of a masonry box or a stone niche was located in the lower section. Mangers were also put in cave stables or other stalls. The manger referred to in Luke 2, verse 16, may have been in a cave stable or other shelter. There Jesus was laid to sleep after his birth. This love of God in Jesus Christ is unique in all the worlds. And when we celebrate the birthday of Jesus, the love of God comes to us in a unique and special way. Let us remain seated and join in hymn number 25, Away in a Manger.
When all the earth is brown, when the leaves have departed the trees, evergreens stand in lonely vigil until the earth again is green. Evergreens shout to us about the hoped for coming of green again. Evergreens stand ever ready to remind us of joyous hope, the joyous reality of the eternal presence of the Christ child, the eternal presence in all the world. Legend tells us that long ago, the evergreens were not forever colored with verdant leaves. Before the birth of the Eternal One, before the coming, the evergreen was bare like other trees around. Evergreen, everlasting, eternal, green branches are part of our preparation, our waiting, our symbol of hope, a symbol of eternity, a symbol of love received. Evergreen is a symbol of the eternal promise of renewal, a symbol of the eternal and everlasting God.
One of the most heartwarming expressions of Christmas is the Nativity. The Nativity speaks of the mystery of God's wisdom. Why God chose to send his Son into our world as a baby of humble birth, born in common surroundings, we do not know. What we do know is that God reached out to all people, including the poor and wealthy, the simple and the wise, the powerless and the powerful. Whenever we see a nativity, we find ourselves with Mary and Joseph, with the shepherds, and with the wise men, bowing before the manger, overwhelmed by God's expression of love in coming to us. The gospel writer John writes, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Let's remain seated as we sing hymn number 44, O Little Town of Bethlehem, verses 1 and 3, and the blue hymnal. And then as we sing, Mercy's gonna help also, and big kids and little kids, can you come up and there they are, and we'll place the figures of the nativity over on the gold covered table. Sure, yeah, they can help.
Friends, God's banquet is coming, the time we await when all will gather from the north and south, the east and west, a banquet where the rich and powerful will sit with the weak and poverty-stricken, a table where young and old will learn from each other, a time when all will sit together in peace, and where the wolf will lie down with the lamb. Here at this table, we receive a foretaste of God's banquet. This is indeed God's table, not the church's, and so all who seek to follow Jesus are welcome to eat and drink from it. And baptized children raised in Christian faith are welcome too. And so you are invited to come and taste the grace eternal and see, and come and see that God is so very good. Let us pray together. Blessings be to you, Creator God, who in the beginning brought light and life to the world and who continues to bring it love and light everlasting. Your song of wisdom echoes through the ages. Your ancient promise still brings us hope. Over the ages, you have called people to embrace your hope and share your love. But even when they have closed their ears to the song, you did not stop singing. You sent prophets and messengers to your people, reminding them of the promised time of peace and justice that would surround the world. They came in the midst of our despair and filled us with hope. And then you came to a young woman named Mary and laid out the promise in a new way, promising her a son who would be called Jesus, promising her that in her son the world would be forever changed. As we prepare to celebrate his birth, we remember the life that this baby will live. We remember how he broke the bonds of human tradition to show all what the banquet of hope could be as he ate openly with the despised and the outcast of his world. And we remember one special meal, a foretaste of the banquet that is to come, that he ate with his closest friends. Today, O healing Father, we pray for those who are ill, facing surgery, who may be grieving. Intercede in their lives powerfully, and may we be open to ways in which you ask us to bless those around us. Encourage and strengthen all who face difficulties, that your name may be glorified, even in the suffering. O God, you poured your spirit on Mary, and she sang words of defiance and hope. So pour out your spirit upon us gathered here, that as we eat and drink, we would know your presence. And as we eat and drink, may we be open to the possibilities of your hope and power. And may we be strengthened in our time of waiting for peace and justice, so that we will have the courage to make the Christmas promise a reality. All these things we pray in the name of Christ Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, took bread and broke it and offered it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, and as you eat of it, do so in remembrance of me." And after he had passed the bread, Jesus also took a cup. And he offered this cup to his friends, saying, "This is a cup of a new covenant, shed for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink of this cup, do so in remembrance of me." The blessing we receive today is that the bread and the cup are for all of us, for us to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good and continues to find favor and love poured out upon us, regardless of the things that we say and do. As the body of Christ, you are invited to take of your bread as you receive it. I invite you to hold your cup so that we can take that cup together. Let us taste and see that the Lord is good.